Be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Will you stretch your hands forward to me, please? Father, this morning, I feel your heart. I thank you for your presence and for your word, Lord. We didn't come to hear opinions or words from man. We came to hear from you. I love you, Lord. And I thank you that you care enough about all of us to direct our steps, to chasten us, to show us, to warn us and guard us from calamity. Father, we release the Holy Spirit here this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you. You take control. Order my thoughts and my words. Let them be your words. Take us where you want us to go this morning, in Jesus' name. And let us be different than when we came in. More in your image and likeness. Seeing, hearing, and knowing more what your thoughts, your words are. And seeing people and you in a different light than when we came in this morning. For this we thank you, we praise you, and we give you honor and glory in advance for the accomplishment. We've already made the declaration that our minds are open and our hearts are receptive, and we're not going to be the same. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know and are familiar with the scripture, "Therefore, but for the grace of God, go I"? Children, you can be released, dismissed. I really sense that God's heart is grieved. He's not sad because of what's happened, because it didn't take him by surprise. That's in all of our lives. But he's saddened because of what it did, both to the individual involved directly and to the people that were under that individual. One of the things that we don't always realize and we don't think about is the fact there's no difference between any of us as far as gender or anything like that. And the only difference when God puts a call on somebody's life is the fact that God has called them to a higher standard and they're more accountable for what they do, what they say, and their actions.
That's right.
I made a statement a few minutes ago about the fact that if he's not Lord of everything, then he's not Lord of all.
Right.
We're told to guard our hearts. And the problem is, if we don't allow God to deal with every small, minute corner of our lives, then we have appetites and things that we can succumb to. I pray God will give us all the revelation of the responsibility we have, whether we stand in the pulpit or we sit in the pew and do what God wants us to do. We have a responsibility and we will be held accountable. But I'm also here to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. It's no secret now. You know, in this world, we don't have friends outside of here. That didn't sink home. We don't have friends outside of here. There's not one of us that the enemy would not like to have disgraced and put down and have our light and our testimony extinguished. Amen? Isn't that right? We heard about the situation. And I'm here to tell you, I repent. Even though I didn't totally jump on the bandwagon, I didn't stand up the way I should have Wednesday night. That's my fault. And I repent for that. But God's been dealing with me. When I asked Him, God, what do you have for today? And He took me someplace that He reminded me of some things that He said to me years ago. I can remember riding with a bunch of police officers in a certain city in this city. And jumping on the bandwagon with their rhetoric. You know, calling people everything but nice. And God stopped me in my tracks. The Spirit of God spoke to me and He said, Bill, what have I forgiven you for?
That's right.
And my mouth was closed. And I repented. In this day and age, folks, everybody outside of the house of God and the family of God is not your friend. They're your enemy. And the leaders of those enemies are the people in the media, the courts. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. They tried to slander Jesus. They accused Jesus of wrongdoing when Jesus had done nothing wrong. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the leaders of that day. But Scripture tells us if they despised and hated Him, they'll despise and hate us too. Why? Why? Because we shed light on their evil deeds. Now, if you recall what I said Wednesday night, for those of you who are here, I said God will not let ungodliness, especially from His people, go unshown. And it's not because He's out to cause devastation or cause somebody to stumble. But our selfishness is what does that. I knew nothing of this man in Colorado Springs, this church. I know a lot more now. How many know God's gifts and call are without repentance? They're irrevocable. How many know that God's Word says, don't touch my anointed? So if that's the case, then no matter what, God's call and His purpose and His plan didn't change because of what happened to this man and what this man did. And I would submit to you that he's of the household of faith. And what is our responsibility to him? To one another. If today one of you stumbles and falls or goes someplace, well, bless God, I can't have anything to do with that. Just, well. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. That's what happens in most churches.
Yes, sir.
They got a standard that's not religious, it's foolish. And then the religion picks up and then, you know, they're better than you are. No. Therefore, but for the grace of God, go I. And we all have the potential to make that fatal mistake unless our hearts are fixed on Him. And unless our hearts are in tune with His plan. And we surrender our will, our wants, and our desires for His will, wants, and desires. Remember what He said about being lukewarm? He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Nobody likes anything lukewarm. We like a good hot meal or a good cold glass of water, but when it's lukewarm, yuck. And you know why God hates sin so badly? It's not because of what it does to Him, because we don't catch Him by surprise. It's because of what it does to, in this case, that man's family, to the church that God called him to. Now, that church is going to be fine. I listened to some of the people this morning, young people, and their focus is in the right place. See, this, folks, why it's so dangerous to put any man on a pedestal. No matter what his title is, no matter what he does, no matter what God's calling him to do, you don't put him on a pedestal. You worship and you follow the God that's within him as long as he's following God.
Amen?
Amen. Now, it's okay to imitate somebody and to follow somebody who is following God. But you've got to be able to have your own thoughts and your own mind and will to be able to stand when something goes wrong. Otherwise, you become one of the ones that's wounded. And I'll remind you that Jesus said He'd leave the 99 and go after the one out of the 100-fold flock.
Amen.
And I feel the ache in God's heart this morning. I don't care whether we like it or not, the man's still a brother. He's been taken in fault. And what is our responsibility? Pray for him. Lift him up. And again, therefore, but for the grace of God, go you or I. It's dangerous not to surrender every aspect of your life to God. Put him at the head. That's when he begins to lead your steps, because that's when you become righteous according to his righteousness. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. Jesus was surrendered to the Father. Didn't say or do anything that he didn't say. It's not good to keep appetites and things or to entertain evil. The Bible says stay away from it. Stay away from it. I'm going to start with Psalm 37, verses 23 through 25 this morning. We're going to look at several scriptures, so be ready for that. My heart breaks for that man's family and for the church, because God's heart is broken, and I feel it, I sense it. I remember years ago, and I repent publicly right now for that too, when Jimmy Swaggart was caught in sin. And I was ready to write him off. I had the word right in front of me that says his gifts and call are irrevocable. And I was ready to write him off. Well, look at that man. It was easy to disdain him, to put myself above him, elevate myself and say, I've never done that. And I would submit to everyone in this room, including myself, the Bible says there's no degree of sin. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Thank God for His grace.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is not to bring heaviness. If you'll receive what God's saying this morning, you'll come out of here free this morning with a different outlook. It's easy for human beings to stand back and point a finger and say, well, what I never did that, when you know just as well as I do that you're guilty in some way or fashion or form, and God says, if you don't make a difference whether you did what they did or not, you're still guilty. But He's removed that guilt and that sin if we stay under the blood and stay focused in Him. The Bible says not to entertain wrong thoughts. Cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm not here to judge what happened or how this man got caught in this or why he went there. I'm here to say that I do know, according to the Word, that if he'd have cast down those thoughts, if he'd have called on somebody, I guarantee you it never would have happened. Our responsibility is to pray for the pastor of this church, for the leadership. Not only in this church, but around the country. It's easy for us to stand and point a finger and talk about the corruption, which that's a violation of God's Word right there. Is it not? Scripture says we're supposed to think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report. Right? So this morning I hurt because I'm part of the body. And a part of the body is hurting this morning. And it's grieved God's heart. Not again because it hurt Him, but because it hurt His person, his man, and his children. I'm not condoning wrong. I'm not doing it, and I'm not saying there's an excuse. But thank God there is forgiveness. And once again, the focus needs to be that when God puts His call and His anointing on somebody, He doesn't change His mind. Your Scripture says in Romans 11:29, the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. In your King James Bible, it says, without repentance. In the Amplified, it says, He never withdraws them when once they're given. He never changes His mind. He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call. Amen? Psalm 37, 23 through 25. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Listen now carefully, folks, because here it is, right here. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken,
Amen.
Nor his descendants begging bread.
Right.
Amen? If I remember right, when I was at my lowest, that's when God reached down and pulled me out of the crud, the muck and the mire, set my feet on Him, the rock. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't remember reading anywhere in there where it says we deserved it. Grace means unmerited favor. Like the song says, we owe a debt we cannot pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. Amen? And we're the recipients of that grace and that mercy. I'm reminded of the definition that I gave some time back about mercy. Mercy assumes need on the part of the one who shows mercy, and resources adequate to on the one who needs mercy, excuse me, and the one who gives mercy, resources adequate to meet that need. Amen? Want me to say that again? That's pretty powerful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, or 10:11 through 13, excuse me. You don't have to turn to all these, but you might want to write them down. right now we're going through a battle we face every 4 years. Righteousness against unrighteousness. Lies and slanders are being told against people who stand for the right thing. I didn't say they were perfect, but then neither are you and I, as men count perfectness. Perfection in the eyes of God is that you keep your focus and your life in accordance with His plan and will, and keep your eyes on Him, right? 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13. Now all these things happened to them as in samples or examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the age have come. Ages have come. Therefore, to him that thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. How many times this week was there something that we, maybe for a moment, maybe we didn't actually enter into it, but we entertained the thought of something we knew wasn't pleasing to God. Thank God by His presence we put it down. But the thought was there, wasn't it? Maybe not yesterday, but sometime this week. And what caused us to stand and not give in? Love for God, the Spirit of God, the unction, the function in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4, 1 through 9. I would remind you that the Scripture says, no man is an island unto himself. Folks, we need one another. Scripture tells us, confess our faults one to another and pray for one another, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What does that mean? It means it accomplishes much. And when we send God's Word and we encourage and lift up the hands that hang down, what happens is they're strengthened. And it's just the same thing as when you get ill or an infection comes and all of a sudden your body's been made by God so that you have things that take place in your body, white blood cells, I guess it is. Tell me, we've got a nurse here, she knows. Come to the aid of the sick and attack that, put that down. How many references do we know about in the Word where we're called the body of Christ? Can I tell you something? I can almost feel people squirming under this. God's going to raise this man up again if he repents. He's going to bring him back into the place he was. And what happened will be an example where not to go and what not to do for the future. It could be, I don't know, that God allowed an idol to be torn down. I didn't say He caused it. I don't want to go there. But He allowed an idol to be torn down. From what I understand, this man had a going ministry. He was head of an organization that had to do with evangelical churches and things like that. I mean, I don't know. I never knew anything about him until this happened. Now, he didn't get there by accident. He must have been doing something right. I would ask you this morning, and I don't want answers, and I don't want hands. How many have done something now that they're, I mean, in their life that they're ashamed of? They really would rather nobody knew, but they know God did, but they know they're forgiven. Amen. They know it's water under the bridge, like Paul said. It's removed as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. And how many know the enemy is faithful to come and try to remind us of those things and put us down? The same way the media comes and tries to put us down. The media attacks anybody. And I'll tell you something, if the media endorses something or somebody, you better be checking twice. Because chances are they're telling you something that is totally diametrically opposed to what God wants. Because they have an agenda. I remember Connie asking when they first met me. Some of you may know this. When Stan and Connie first met me, Connie said to Stan, she said, you think this guy's for real? Well, 11 years later, I still have no agenda of my own. I'm here as a servant. I'm here to do what God wants, and I'm here to serve the man that God set in this place. That's what I'm here for. Now, that doesn't mean that I would follow him if he went into wrong. But I'm telling you what, he's been tested and tried and proved through the time. And I've not heard one word that's ever led anybody astray that ever came through those doors. And that's not a testimony or giving glory to Him, but giving glory to the fact that He surrendered to God and God lives big in him.
Amen.
Amen? What if we made a mistake? This is what we have to be mindful of. We're God's ambassadors in this earth. What if we let something creep in that we did and it got exposed? First thing the enemy does is come to tear you down. Say, right. You're through. It's done. It's over.
He's a liar.
Because he tries to distract you from what the Word says. Right?
Come on.
I can tell you firsthand when my marriage went awry. I was assistant pastor of another church. I resigned the ministry and I had fully given up to the fact that my ministry was over. I would never minister again. Folks, you're standing here looking at a living testimony. When I came to this church, in fact, before this church was even a church, when it was the other church, I went there with no motivation involved at all except to be in the presence of God, to learn and to grow. I didn't look for any jobs. I didn't look for any positions. God is the one who lifted me up. When I came here, most of you who have been here for a while know, I didn't come and ask for this job. In fact, if anything, I've said like Stan, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? You're talking about me. Look at the screw-ups, the mess that I've made. My grace is sufficient, says the Lord. It's God's plan. His call is irrevocable, folks. You ought to be shouting for joy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 9. Philippians 4, 1 through 9. I'm sorry. Getting confused here. It says, I implore you, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who are labor with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He didn't ask your opinion. Mm-hmm. Their names are in. Is your name in the book of life today?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Over what? That your name's in the book of life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise.
You've been transformed, redeemed, justified, sanctified. As long as you walk in His presence and walk according to His plan and will. Where we get in trouble is we start to have our own agenda, our own plan, our own will. How many churches have split because the assistant pastor got the big head and because a few people decided, man, he's a pretty good guy. And then the church splits because he goes off in a direction he's not supposed to go. It's not going to happen here, folks. It's not going to happen. I'll walk out the door before it happens. Don't take that as a threat. Just understand what I'm saying from my spirit, from my heart. I didn't build this work. God built this work. And the man who's supposed to be here is here. Whether that changes or not, it's not up to me. And I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. It's up to God. But I'm not looking for the job, folks. So he's safe from me. And like always, I'll be there to protect him. Whether that means rallying around him, say, wait a minute. Maybe we better rethink this plan of action. Or standing behind him and saying, yeah, man, I feel the Spirit of God. You're right on. Let's go. Amen. Not critical, but striving to hear the voice of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Every one of us here knows that. Turn to that with me, please, if you will. Every one of us knows this. But I want to remind you what real love looks like. Real love is not critical. Real love will not partake in or entertain wrongdoing. But it does not disdain. And remember one of the things God spoke to me when I was talking about the things that these officers were saying in this city is the fact that what I was saved from and that by His grace I'm here and I'm standing now. Listen carefully. Love suffers long and is kind. What kind of kindness is it when you go and run somebody down, exposed to the whole world? And I'm telling you, the man who did this is a snake and a liar. He's a sinner, or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And he's no better than the media because he went right to the media and exposed it. Now, if God's in control of everything, so there's a real purpose for this. But what the media wants is to see this man destroyed and see God's not really real. These people are all hypocrites. It kind of makes you a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because we're the church. It's a black mark against us. We're His ambassadors. I'm reminded of a man who came in one day as I was delivering a load of things to Supervalue Warehouse. And the receiver and I had talked many times. He knew I was a pastor, knew I was a minister. And we talked many times. And this big, heavy-set truck driver comes in there, just lumbering in there, and just lets it all hang out. Starts talking about... just butted into conversation and started saying, well, you know, I get lonely out there, and I got to go... I got to visit these lot lizards. And for those of you who don't know what that term is, that's trucker slang for prostitutes. And I stopped him. I said, sir, I just want you to know, I bear no judgment on you. What you do is your business. I just wanted you to know. And my purpose was so that he wouldn't be embarrassed any further. Of course, Ed's over there rolling on the floor laughing. But I said, I pass no judgment on you, but I wanted you to know I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. And he turned around and walked off and wouldn't show his face the rest of the time that I was there. I didn't say that to embarrass him. I said it to not embarrass him. But you know, God taught me a lesson there. Number one, you don't know who you're talking to all the time. When you meet people, you don't know who you're talking to. And you don't know what God's purpose is. How many messages we heard in recent days, in fact, through the history of this church, we've got one mouth, two ears, we've got to do twice the listening as we do running the mouth. You know, your words, sometimes the first words out of your mouth really expose who you are and what you're about. Remember, your Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Oops. There's not a person in this room that's not guilty of having diarrhea of the mouth sometimes. Instead of asking God, what should I be saying, or what should I be doing, or should I be quiet? That's because they're too busy talking that haven't made a mistake. Right? So we're in good company. Amen? The difference is we're walking in the grace and forgiveness of God because our focus is on Him.
Hallelujah.
Amen? That's one thing we can say. We've been taught a solid foundation in this place from the Word of God by one who walks it out, who doesn't preach it, but walks it out and lives it every day. Amen? Hallelujah. Love suffers long and is kind, and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Oh, now wait a minute. Let's make sure that's right there. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Wait a minute. Didn't we just talk about a scripture that says, think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report?
Yeah.
It didn't mean deny the truth, but don't focus on it and don't set yourself up as a judge over that. Say, I'll have nothing to do with that as far as the actions. But remember, God loves the individual. He hates the sin.
That's right.
And He hates the one that motivates the sin in him. We don't hate the person. We hate the actions. Right? We need to remind ourselves of that often. Otherwise, we get the big head and get puffed up.
Yeah.
Thinks no evil. Number six, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. And once again, the reminder. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Things are not important. The important thing is the relationship with God. And if your focus is on God and your relationship's right with God, then when you go to do something, even no matter how minor it is, if there's any selfishness or anything that's detrimental in it, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us in the truth, you're going to turn away from that. We've got to kill the affections and lust of the flesh, according to John. For I believe it's 1 John. Kill them. That's why we read in Galatians 2:20 that we are supposed to be crucified with Christ. That's not us. He's paid the price. But we lay down our wants and desires. We're crucified with Him.
And then the life which we live now, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, wait a minute. We talked about a song that says, he paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. So we owe it to him. And you know what? The Scripture says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But whoever seeks to keep his life or gain his life will lose it. Which is better, momentary gratification or long-term satisfaction and blessings of God? John 8:44. Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders of the time. And I'm not going to read the first three verses. Well, yes, I will too. I'm going to start in verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Then Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. There's the mouth running off again. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 44, he tells them flat out, you are of your father the devil, and his desires, than the desires of your father, you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Proverbs 10, 18 and 19. Proverbs 10, 18 and 19. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Do you know how many people are out there right now railing on this man? Forgetting what God did for them, if they ever had God do anything for them to begin with. That's not my place to judge, but I would throw that question out for us to consider about ourselves. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we won't need anybody else to judge us, right? Praise the Lord. In the multitude, in verse 19, of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Verse 20 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, and fools die for lack of wisdom. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 27 through 8. 28. Jeremiah 6, 27 through 28. While I know you're in here, you rascal, come out. They are all stubborn rebels, walking as slanderers. They are bronze and iron. They are corruptors. The bellows below... Okay, that's 27 to 28. Anyway. You're right. I have set you as an assayer. Listen carefully. I have set you as an assayer at a fortress among my people, that you may know and test their way. Now, did that say that you set up a box and sat behind it and said, I'm the judge? No. How many know that your actions, and what you stand for is known of people? How many people in this room have had people who let their mouth run all of a sudden say, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I apologize, because they know where you stand, because nothing corrupt comes out of your mouth? That's a testimony, right? Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 3. I remind you what the Scripture says, so we shouldn't be taken by surprise by this any more than God is. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just these two verses. 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 3. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good. Verse 4 says, traitors, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now that's twofold, folks. That's twofold in that scripture. That's talking about what's going on in the world now, those who have not surrendered to God, but it's also talking about those who have not totally surrendered in the church, but who walk in the grace and mercy of God. It's up to Him to say when it's time to end that. Remember, we've talked about this a lot of times too, about where is that line? If we're wise, we don't want to test it to find out. Amen? We want to run from it. James 5:16. How many know what that scripture says? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We talked about that, didn't we? 3 John 1:11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. People go through the motions sometimes. How many know that everything God looks at in our lives is based on our heart, not our actions? That's one of the reasons we're not consumed when we foul up, sometimes deliberately. His mercy and His grace, amen? Hallelujah. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I have delivered them to you. Well, I don't know that that's what I wanted, but that's... Anyway, 4:16. Anyway, we have an urge here. Very brief statement. It says, therefore I urge you, imitate me. Don't imitate what's evil, imitate what's good. Amen? Now I want to deal with, or go to, what the Word says in 1 Samuel 24:10. We'll look at 24:10 and 10. And 24:10 and then chapter 26, there's three verses there. 1 Samuel 24:10. This deals with touching God's anointed. And by the way, folks, that just doesn't include the man who stands behind the pulpit. It includes you too. How many know what the word Christ means? It's not Jesus' last name. The anointed one with the anointing. Is He in you? Does He abide in you? Does His presence live with you?
Yes.
Do you live in His presence?
Amen.
Okay. Nothing more needs to be said. 24:10. Look this day. 1 Samuel 24:10. Okay. Look this day. Your eyes have seen the Lord. Delivered to you. Have seen the Lord that... Let's try again. Look this day. Your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you to the today... into my hand in a cave. Now, this is David talking. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for He is the Lord's anointed. As I recall the story, this is a place where God's permissible will was there because Israel wanted a king. So they set Saul. But the new king, even the new king, David, had sense enough not to touch what God had blessed. We just heard a message about that, didn't we? And then 26, verse 9, and 23 and 24. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Verse 23, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and for his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so that my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord. and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. See, God didn't ask us your opinion about who he called or who he set, did he? He didn't ask anybody's opinion about you when he called you and chose you, brought you out of darkness, did he? He's not interested in opinions. You know why it's so dangerous for us to be caught up in this kind of thing that leads us astray? Is because we don't see the beginning from the end. He is the beginning and the end. He knew before the foundations of the earth. How many know that? 2 Samuel 1:14 through 17. Are you beginning to see a picture here, folks, about our responsibility? And I would remind you again, you know, as you judge, you will be judged. Again, saying that you're going to stand against something that's wrong and letting people know, hey, that's wrong, but you attack the sin, not the person. 2 Samuel 1:14 through 17. And David said to him, how was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. Then David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. How many were taught from a small child that two wrongs don't make a right? But the point is, sometimes, in this case, they were acting according to the traditions and according to God's plan. Messing with God's anointed. That means God's looking out for you the same way. We have to have enough reverence for God that we don't act until we're sure of what it is He wants us to do. I remember the story that Stan told. In fact, how many, some of you were here, when there was adultery found in the church, this church. And Stan, acting as the man of God, having the authority to do this, went and got in God's face and went and studied the Word, had everything ready to go, went to reach for the door handle, and God said, what are you doing? Well, he said, I'm going to go take care of this. He said, whose word is that in your hand? Well, it's your word. Then you'll use it when I tell you to. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. That very next, it might have been the next day, I don't remember exactly. We went to church, and this man, who owned a gun store, and wouldn't have blinked an eye at killing the two people involved, one was his wife, God had a hold of his life enough that he cried out for help. He said, I need your prayer, I'm going to go kill somebody. And God not only stopped him, but restored a marriage that was otherwise gone. Now, of course, in his own arrogance, he went on and finally lost everything that he had. And that's between him and God. The point is, if it were you or I in the same place, what would we have done? And second of all, wouldn't we want somebody to at least pray that we wouldn't die in our sin? Amen? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. First Chronicles 16:22 just basically says, saying, do not touch mine owned ones, and do my prophets no harm. How many times we have to be told we're not the judge, and we're not God's sword? Does that mean He can't do something through us? No. But don't take it upon yourself, and don't get the big head. Just a few more. Psalm 82, 1 and 2. How many know that I'm not preaching about a license to sin and thinking you're going to be okay? Did you miss that? Psalms 82, verses 1 and 2. God stands in the congregation of the mighty, and He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? You know, sometimes we'll... it's the same thing as what Annie Graham said when the thing at Columbine happened. And people were saying, how could God do something like this or allow this to happen? And unfortunately, we have to say, because we didn't stand up when they legislated God out of the schools and prayer out of the schools and Bible reading out of the schools. Because we decided we'd listen to Dr. Spock more than the Word of God. Because we'd listen to newspapers. We read the newspapers and we take that as gospel. And we question the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying directly to you guys, but you know this goes on. And if you're guilty, God knows, repent and go on. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 7, 1 through 6. All I can say, my heart's bursting inside. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for pulling me out of all that garbage. And have I arrived at my perfect? No. But the point is, I'm fixed, focused. And you know what? As long as God's willing to chasten me, I know that I'm still His son. When He backs off and doesn't talk to you anymore, you don't get in trouble for the things you do? Oh, honey, you better be on your face. Because if you haven't gone too far, you're about to. When you stop hearing the voice of God, it's because you're not listening and because He's trying to talk to you and you're not paying attention. Just throw that out there. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Judge not that you be not judged. Now listen carefully. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dog, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. One of the things that God has worked diligently in me, and I'm not totally free from it, is the fact when things go on or things are said, man, I'll tell you what, somebody point a finger at me and say something, and I'd be the first one, man, I'd be so hopping mad. Let me tell you something. If looks could kill, there'd be a lot of dead people out there. Oh, now don't look at me like you're innocent. You know what I'm talking about. But God taught me, Bill, look at yourself. And I heard this, judge yourself and you won't need for somebody to judge you. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, but for the grace of God go I. And then the next thing is, am I guilty of the same thing? I've told you all how many times that in the past, I'm learning, I'm growing. I've rough driven down the road and some fool cuts me off or some guy's going 90 miles an hour about to cause a wreck, cause a major disaster on the highway. And I look at that fool. And all of a sudden it comes up inside me, he's just like you. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just like you. See? Judge yourself, and you won't need anybody else to judge you. We want to point a finger. Can I tell you, once again, I want to tell you this. This is amazing to me. This is amazing to me. The very things that most of us hate are the very things we attack in other people, and yet they're the things some of us have in our lives. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? Bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds. Second Thessalonians 3:3. Just a couple more and we're done. Second Thessalonians 3:3. We need to be focused and understand. Some of what we've talked about this morning is the media attacking people because they don't agree with them. Not because they're necessarily wrong, but because they don't agree with their agenda or their ideas. Didn't God give us a mind? Aren't we supposed to use it? Doesn't He say our righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord?
Yes, sir.
So if we're righteous and we're walking by the God and we're listening, then we're going to hear what God says and we're going to know who and where to vote. We don't need some tabloid telling us how to vote.
That's right.
I guarantee you vote according to tabloids, you'll vote wrong. And then don't come crying because you did it. Bible says, let those that have ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He has a plan to steal and kill and destroy, to kill the Word of God, right? Revelation 12:10. I remember Jesus standing or kneeling down one time, looking at a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Caught. According to the law and the traditions at that time, those people were justified at stoning her to death. But the wisdom of God came through Jesus, and He said, one thing before you do this, let you who is without sin cast the first stone.
Come on.
And before you could open your eyes or raise your head, they were gone. The conviction of God, because the truth came in, the light came in. He touched them and showed them, you know what? Do you deserve to be here too? And they were gone. And then He said to her, woman, I mean, she was guilty. There was no question. Caught her in the very act of adultery. And as He's doodling in the sand, He said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there's none. What did He say to her? He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and don't do it again. Amen? Romans 5, 20 and 21, and with that we'll close. You know, aren't we called to be ministers of reconciliation,
yes, sir,
and restoration?
Yes. That's right.
There's so many people out there pointing their finger at this man right now. What good is that doing?
No.
Is that helping the kingdom? Is that helping them?
No.
No, it's not. But the ones who are out praying, saying, God, restore him, heal him. You think he doesn't know he's done wrong? You think he doesn't know the calamity he's brought in his life and his family? But God's gifts and call are irrevocable. Man, you ought to be shouting, thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord. One of the things I said Wednesday night is the secret things we do that we think nobody sees, we forget He sees. And if we leave that end undone or untaken care of, it'll find us out. Why? Because God's out to slander us or expose us? No. Because light, darkness can't stay where light is. He'll give you the opportunity. But if you get exposed and it backfires in your face, guess who you got to blame? Do you get the impression there's some work involved in being a Christian? There's some requirements? I don't know about you, man. Through all this, I get that big time. 20 and 21, Romans chapter 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Or grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. Through righteousness. Not judgment. Not pointing a finger. To eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In case you didn't figure it out, let me just put it in a nutshell. Give it to you. I hurt for this man because I know God hurts for him. I hurt for his family. I don't condone what he did. I say what he did was absolutely wrong. What was even more wrong is thinking that he might be able to do this and get away with it. But what he did to the church where he was called, how many know what God says? I don't want to be standing in judgment over that. But my prayer for him is, God, restore him. He sees the error of his ways. He sees the error of his ways. And he goes to God like David did when David was caught, when he had Bathsheba's husband killed in battle for his own selfish, lustful agenda.
That's right.
And even though David had tried to forget it, and he acted surprised when the prophet came to him and said, what would you do if you knew of a man who did this? Why, he said, I'd have him killed right now. Where is this man? Show me. Imagine what David felt when he pointed and said, David, the man is you. Folks, we owe a debt we can't pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. His mercy is new every day. His mercy is everlasting. The one thing that we do know is that where unrighteousness is, God will take care of that. It's not our job.
And it's just as unrighteous to jump on a bandwagon and point a finger at somebody who's been taken in fault rather than praying for them, lifting up their arms and praying, God, restoring them. Because that's what you'd want. Isn't that right? That's what you'd want. That's what I want. The enemy will try anything. He's faithful to damage the kingdom of God. When that happens, we don't have to be a part of that. We can cover that. Love covers a multitude of sins, right?
Amen.
Father, restore that man. Touch his family. You bore the grief, Lord. You bore the shame. You bore the ridicule. We don't condone what he did, Lord, but he's yours. He's one of your own. You called him. You anointed him. And for that church, Lord, let the wisdom of God rise up in them. Let maturity rise up in them. So they don't put their focus on a man, but their focus is on you. Touch them, heal them, Lord. Restore them. That's righteousness. That's your plan, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy towards us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes, leads us and guides us into truth. And right. Except for you, Lord, it could have been any of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing and restoring what's been damaged. It didn't catch you by surprise, Father. You knew. Thank you for the miracle. Thank you for your supernatural intervention in this whole thing. You're the one who stills the enemy and the avenger, silences the devil, took away his bite. Now all he is a loudmouth barker. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for giving us the tools, the wisdom and the ability to walk in you so that we don't go the same way. But also thank you for reminding us that we don't forget who and what we are, just as you don't forget that we're but dust. Our frame is dust. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you for showing us, Lord, what it would feel like. Once again, I pray, Lord, that for every one of us here, that we'd be able to see like you see. See people through your eyes. See situations through your eyes. Not based on our opinions or intellect or our judgments or our emotions. Based on your truth. You are truth. And let us, along with seeing that, know what you know, think what you think, and speak only what you direct us to speak. And let it be said of this house that we are the ministers of reconciliation. We are the ministers of restoration. We've been forgiven, Lord, some of us for much. Let us also imitate you, Lord, and forgive. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. There's one here this morning that God's dealing with you. If you want prayer, you can come and stand, or you can raise your hand, or whatever you want to do. But I urge you, don't leave this morning if you're not right with God, and if you've made the mistake of jumping on a bandwagon that's not right. You don't have to leave with the heaviness on you or the guilt. Guilt's not from God. Condemnation's not from God. Conviction, love, healing, restoration, those are from God. Those are the things that are in God's capability. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's good to be reminded where we've come from, how we got there, and where we're going. God's Word says He doesn't want any to perish, but all that would come to eternal life. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. We adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You know, I remember one time doing something very foolish. I was mad. I'll just be honest with you. I was mad at the church I was going to. I'm not saying there wasn't fault there, but that's not the point. The point is I was wrong. Doesn't make any difference what they did. That's between them and God. It's not my business. My business is to do what God tells me. A man who was an elder in the church helped me. I was young and dumb. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I was young and dumb. I would even $65 for a repair that he did on my car. Because I was mad at the church, I packed up one day and ran. While they were in church, I ran, left. Well, I wasn't where I needed to be anyway, but that's beside the point. It was, again, my fault. And when God began to call me back and to restore me, the only thing I could see in my heart, Bill, you've got to get that man paid. And of course, the enemy was faithful to come and say, they know what you did. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to ostracize you. And you know what? I said, God, I don't care. That I'm right with you is more important to me than anything else. And I don't care if they run me out of the church. I'm going to make this right because it's what you require and because it's right. And God restored. Heart, folks, heart. That's what it's about. God's not out to embarrass anybody. But I'll remind you again what it says. Confess your faults one to another. And you better not sit back in judgment over whoever does that. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You don't answer to me. But we all answer to Him. Either now or in the hereafter. I'd rather do it now and get it taken care of. How about you? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Stand with me and let's give Him praise. And we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness. For teaching us and leading us, Lord, so that we don't get caught in the snares of the enemy. For causing us to grow and be more in your likeness and image. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Right now, Lord, let your word be sealed in the hearts. Let my opinion or my words fall and pass away. But seal your word in every heart. Deal with them the way you deal with people, according to who they are. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, may your face shine upon them, Lord. May your face shine with joy over your people, Lord. Bless them and keep them. Go with them. And wherever they go and whatever they do, Lord, according to your plan and purpose, as they follow you, let it prosper according to your word. Your promise to us who serve you and love you. For this we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Bless our time of fellowship now. We thank you. And all who agree say, Amen.